Welcome back to season 3 of Snubs and Dubs. We've been talking about the snubs and dubs of the 74th Academy Award for Best Picture. I'm your host, Kyle Tobiasen, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jason Miller. Jason, are you feeling like a sexy beast today?
Kyle, every single day of my life, I wake up feeling like a sexy beast. Specifically, the opening scene of this particular movie where the dude's just kind of laying out on his back in the sun, getting a tan on, getting a groove on. That's how I wake up every morning, Kyle, covered in sweat. How about you?
Well, I hope I'm a little less red than he is if I have that similar feeling, because that man looked very lobster-esque, like he was baking in that Spanish sun.
You can tell that he's British. I mean, like, aside from knowing who the actor is and all that, you can tell he's British just from the fact that he looks to have had minutes of sun and his feet red.
Did you watch anything in the last week?
I've watched a couple things. Yeah. So it's still spooky season at the time of recording. At the time of release, I've moved on entirely and don't want to even think about October again. But there's been a couple movies that I've been watching with the girlfriend. Nice. First one was, it's one of my favorite horror movies, The Blair Witch Project. It's back on Netflix because we tried watching this last Halloween season only to find that The Blair Witch Project is not on Netflix. Sad. But some of the really bad. I don't dare call them movies. Oh, I don't even want to think of them as entertainment products. They are atrocious. But some of the sequels and spinoffs were on there, just tarnishing the good name of a child murdering witch. Didn't need that blemish. So we watched that, and I think it still holds up to my initial watch. I really enjoyed the uniqueness of it because it's a found film footage that actually feels like the recorded found footage. It's not just like a movie through bad camera angles. It actually feels like there's lapses between stuff that's not on screen. The conversations actually feel like teenagers in a woods. I think the main actress was absolutely shredded for her performance. I think she won a Razzie for it. But I think it's really fitting for the movie they're making that it is bad. Like, it's, I don't know. It has a particular horror movie charm to me that I really enjoy. Yeah, my girlfriend liked it. It was another successful Blair Witch Project viewing.
Nice.
We also watched a movie called The Ritual on Netflix.
Okay, haven't heard of this one.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a horror movie on Netflix.
Okay.
It's fine. It's some dudes going a hike in Sweden. There's this deer god thing.
I think I've seen the poster for this.
I think you have.
I haven't actually known anything about the movie.
Yeah, it's fine. If you can do worse, probably, just kind of cruising around for a movie. You can do better as well. Kyle, I believe in you. You don't have to watch The Ritual. You're not one of those people. Otherwise, the third thing that I watched that aren't the movie we're talking about was Smile.
Yes.
It was good.
It was
I think it was good, and I'm brave enough. I have the guts enough to say that Smile, it's good.
Yeah, it's good. I will also add that I was there with you in case people didn't know.
What?
Yeah, I was watching.
Oh my God.
Yeah, corner of the room, big smile on my face. Yeah. No, I think it was fine. Yeah, it was like pleasant. No, I mean, not pleasant. It was
you are messed up. It was are wrong.
I enjoyed my time enough being in there. And like, that's basically what I'm trying to say. Like, it didn't ruin an evening, but it also didn't like make a lasting impact. I think it was just like, it was a good time at the theater. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think that's totally fair. I would even give it a go watch if you're into horror movies. I'm not going to say you're going to love it, but I'll tell you, you could watch it. You have the ability to, and I wouldn't stop you.
Yeah. It does kind of feel like a lot of modern horror movies that aren't like this sort of elevated horror. It just kind of has a lot of the similar tropes. But like, it works. It's functional. It's fine.
Oh, you know what I really like about it? I never said, ugh, or cringed at anything that they tried to do.
Yeah.
And that just hit me now. Nothing frustrated me about it. And that's a slam hit.
Well, we were talking on the way home about kind of the ending that was like, maybe they could have done that a little bit better.
Oh, we workshopped better ending within 5 minutes of riffing on it.
Yeah, because some, like the decision at the end, it wasn't like a cringe decision, but it was like you could have made a better decision because you know the information that you know at this point. Two characters in particular could have made better decisions at the end.
Yeah.
And like that kind of like, if you really look into it, you can maybe find some flaws in that area that could take you out of it. But it's just like a silly, goofy horror movie. I'm not going to analyze it too much.
There's no point. I will say, okay, we're going to briefly enter the spoiler zone for like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Leave or do something else if you haven't and you're going to watch Smile. Yeah. But it's like November now. I don't know why you would.
It's been out for a little while.
Yeah. Okay, so the fiance gets written out of this thing like the actor died. He is in it till there's a breakup and then he's out of it. No resolution. Yeah. And I found that kind of funny. Mm-hmm. You would have thought that he got double booked or was murdered at some point, but no, his character just has no arc.
It is interesting because like that, you don't watch The Boys, but that actor is one of the main heroes in The Boys.
Oh, and interesting.
So, yeah, so like he's... I don't know. It's possible that he could have been busy.
Oh, but he would have already been in The Boys.
Shooting that show. Yeah. Like
yeah, they would have known his schedule, though.
Yeah. True. But like, I guess, yeah, he just wasn't really in it. And he probably could have made the story more interesting by being more involved.
He needed one more scene. Just
one more scene
to remind us of who he was. Boom. Show us what he's done as a person, how he's grown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wouldn't really be growing. He'd be just going back to an ex, but whatever. Yeah. Show us how he grows back into a sniveling, wants his girl back guy. Yeah. Give us that. Come on.
He really does just like get mad at her and disappear.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. Mm-hmm. So
self-care king.
Well, I watched a few things. I guess I was in a bit of a Kevin Williamson mood because Molly and I have continued on to watch Scream 2.
Ooh.
And I Know What You Did Last Summer, which are both Kevin Williamson written films. Obviously, Wes Craven directed Scream 2. I don't know who did I Know What You Did Last Summer, but that was easily the weaker one.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very passable 90s horror movie. You can see elements of Scream in it.
Mm-hmm.
In like, you don't know who it is or who's doing it. And that is kind of like the crux of it. But overall, like it's kind of just fine. I think it needed more score, more killing, because I was surprised at the amount of characters that made it out of the movie or like survived as long as they did in the movie. Hmm. It wasn't really until like the very end that the body count started to go up, which I guess is typical in a horror movie, but I felt like it needed more during the movie to kind of keep it going. And the cast is just kind of like what you would expect from the 90s, like Sarah Michelle Gellar, I think is her name, but mm-hmm. Buffy the Vampire Slayer is in it. And she's also in Scream 2, which is kind of funny. So yeah, I don't know. It's passable. I wouldn't like be screaming at you to go watch it, but also if you threw it on, it's like super easy to just consume. So
but would you be scream-toing at someone to go watch it?
Well, actually with Scream 2, because this is actually the second time I watched it, similar to how we watched Scream last week in the span of a year. And I enjoyed my time with it more this time than I did last time.
Hmm.
I found I was kind of more invested in the how they were putting the pieces together with knowing who it was. Whereas mm-hmm. I think with Scream, sometimes it can feel like when you're watching it again, you know who it is and like, there's not much left to figure out. And sometimes that experience can be a little bit boring. I don't mm-hmm. know. Just for like you as the viewer and your experience, it's still a great movie on a rewatch, but I found that Scream 2, maybe this is just because it was my second time viewing and not my like third or fourth, but like I was trying to see where they were leaving the breadcrumbs and see where like the revealed people were actually like popping in or what they were doing throughout. And it was a cool rewatch. Mm-hmm. I don't think I upgraded my score to it because overall I do think it's about like a 3 out of 5. Like mm-hmm. it wasn't Scream, but it was still like better than I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah.
But yeah. So have you seen Scream 2? Have you seen all of them yet?
No, I haven't seen all of them. I gotta remember which. Wow. There's I think like one that I haven't seen, and I have a suspicion that it was Scream 2 that I haven't seen. I'm pretty sure I've seen Scream 1, 3, 4.
Yeah.
For some reason.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, should give it a watch. It's good.
I might. I'll think about it.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, House of the Dragon season 1 finished, and it's a very good show. I'm really into it. It's kind of rejuvenated my love for the Game of Thrones universe, as I think it has for many other people. I do think that if they hadn't announced that season 2 was already happening, I would be very concerned, though, because the episode 10 was very cliffhangery.
Hmm.
And like the whole period of time that this show is encapsulating is about this sort of civil war within the House of the Dragon. And it took basically the whole season to get to the point where we are now about to start the conflict.
And that would be brutal if that was the end.
The conflict didn't actually start. Like the initial incident of the conflict, obviously every episode leading up to it is sort of the building blocks to what eventually spills over into them going into, I'm assuming, a war. I haven't read the book or looked too much into it because I don't want to spoil what happens. But what they left it on was not that satisfying. Mm. But because you know there's more, it is okay.
Yeah.
It is just like, it's 2 years away now. Yeah. So it's like really annoying.
Was it like Dragon Ball Z levels of like edging a battle but never getting to it?
Kind of. I mean, like, yeah, like it was, well, especially because the whole season, and I'll talk about a little bit of spoilers, but like you're kind of waiting for the king to die.
Oh.
Because the whole issue is of his succession. Because for the longest time, he didn't have a male heir. And then his wife died. And so he was only left with Rhaenyra, which was his daughter. And so to kind of solidify her claim and like his succession, he named her heir and had people swear to her that mm-hmm. they would honor the succession. But he has a new wife and then has more children, including a son. And so the mother of that child and her dad, who is the hand of the king, want the son of her to be the king and be the next named heir instead of Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
And so there's some other conflict and in within that. And obviously they had 10-hour-long episodes that were all really good, but slight spoilers at the end. The king finally dies at the end of episode 9, which is like, you're just building and building. And this man looked dead from like episode 5. Like he was worse for wear. And so once you finally get to that point, you're like, okay, now shit's going to happen. But then you're already at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And so it's like nothing's happening, but yeah, it was good. I'm ready for more.
Interesting. Leave it all up in the air.
Well, other than that, season 3 of Snubs and Dubs has been covering the films from the year 2001. And so for episode 13, we are talking about Sexy Beast. Had you heard of this one before?
No.
Well, you would have, because we talked about it in Jonathan Glazer's last episode that we had on the podcast for Under the Skin.
Here's the thing, Kyle. I'm sure we did. I'm also sure I didn't pay attention.
Well, it's because the only way that this came up was because Jonathan Glazer was talked about in an interview. It was Jonathan Glazer brackets Sexy Beast.
Oh, so, right. That was such a pro. That's alpha male move.
Yeah, exactly. And so when I realized that this movie, you know, while it does say in a lot of places that it came out in 2000, was eligible in this year for awards, I was like, okay, well, that seems like a natural inclusion, especially mm-hmm. after having Jonathan Glazer in last season. But you hadn't heard about it before. You hadn't watched it before. Neither had I. I didn't really know anything about it, which is kind of a good way to go into something like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't want to know about it, or I'd have the wrong expectations.
Yeah. Cool. Well, let's just get into it. If you were interested in Sexy Beast, I've included the links to the physical media related to it in the show notes. If you buy through that link, it'll help out our show. Or if you have any other Amazon shopping to do, follow the general link to help out our show in the process. A reminder, this is going to be a spoiler-filled conversation, so if you haven't seen Sexy Beast yet and you want to, go ahead and do so. I've also included time codes in the show notes so you can skip around to your heart's desire. Without further ado, let's get into it.
Sexy Beast is a 2000, what? But 2001 eligible, it's fine. British psychological black comedy crime film. This is directed by Jonathan Glazer, noted Sexy Beast. This is written by Lewis Mellis and David Skinto. This is starring Ray Winstone as Gary Gal Dove, Ben Kingsley as Don Logan, Ian McShane as Teddy Bass, Amanda Redman as Dee Dee, Kevin Kendall as H.
I said H.
I don't know. It's British. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And Julianne White as Jackie. This has a runtime of 88 minutes and was released on January 12th, 2001 in the UK and June 15th, 2001 in countries that matter.
Oh, no.
So, Kyle, what did you think of Sexy Beast?
I was really into it. However, I did find it felt long for an 88-minute movie.
Mm-hmm. There was not quite enough going on to really captivate me for all 88 minutes.
Yeah.
This is a movie where I overall had a good time,
yeah,
but was checking my phone in an hour and a half long movie.
Yes, I found that too. And I think it was because there was the expectation that Gal was going to take the job.
Yeah.
And that he was going to go do the job, even though he didn't want to. And so we were kind of waiting for that call to action. But you realize that that is kind of the whole movie is like him denying this call to do this heist, which is like on a storytelling level, not that satisfying.
No,
because you would think that the expectation when you're watching it, you know, I had no expectations going in, but as I was watching, I was like, okay, eventually he's going to accept the heist and they're going to go do the heist. And that's going to be a big part of the movie. Maybe things will go wrong between Don and Gal then, but overall, like, that's got to be the plot, right? But no.
And like, I mean, in hindsight, Don is the most captivating part of this thing. They could have probably used more of him, had him bother Gal more, because it's really only on a couple of occasions. It's like two or three particular instances of him trying to insist that Gal does this job when, like, they probably could have done more with that and less without him, or made the time that they had together a bit more exciting.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple, like, the first conversations are fine. They're kind of setting up a slow acceleration of what Don's trying to do to get Gal to join, but like it's kind of boring when you know that it's going to get worse.
But like the characters do make it entertaining enough to watch, and it's really well acted, especially by Ben Kingsley as just this like crazy intimidating psychopath who's just like
goddamn lunatic.
It's crazy. And I was watching a video about it, and in the time period, I guess, like, this was coming off of Gandhi had come out a few years earlier, but Ben Kingsley was kind of struggling to escape that sort of like kind-hearted nice guy typecasting.
Yeah.
And so like this was a total departure, and obviously it was very successful for him, which I know should we get into the plot?
Yeah, let's dive into a plot.
Right. Well, I'm going to read straight to the plot. If you don't need the refresher or you don't want to know, you can skip right to the discussion by following the time codes in the show notes. But here's Sexy Beast. British ex-criminal Gary Gal Dove is happily retired in Spain with his beloved wife, Dee Dee, best friend H, and H's wife, Jackie. An old criminal associate, the feared sociopath Don Logan, arrives at Gal's villa, intent on enlisting Gal for a bank robbery in London planned by crime lord Teddy Bass. Teddy has learned about the bank vault from Harry, the bank's chairman, whom he met at an orgy. Gal politely declines, but Don continues to pressure Gal, growing increasingly aggressive and violent. After Gal suggests Don's real reason for visiting is his infatuation with Jackie, with whom he had a brief affair, Don grows furious and leaves for England. On the plane, Don refuses to extinguish his cigarette prior to takeoff, is aggressive to staff and other passengers, and is ejected. He returns to the villa screaming obscenities and attacks Gal with a bottle. Dee Dee aims Gal's shotgun at Don, and the group shoot and beat him to death. In London, Gal prepares for the heist. Teddy questions Gal about Don's whereabouts. Gal claims Don returned to London and called it from Heathrow Airport. The heist involves using diving gear to drill into the bank vault from a pool in a neighboring bathhouse. The pool water floods the vault and shorts its security system. As Teddy crew empties the vault's safety deposit box, Gal secretly pockets a pair of ruby earrings encrusted with diamonds. After the job, Teddy insists on driving Gal to the airport. He stops at Harry's home, where he kills Harry and demands again that Gal tell him where Don is. Gal responds that he is, quote, not into this anymore. In the car, Teddy suggests that he might visit Gal in Spain some time, humiliates him by paying him only £10 for the job, and implies more serious threats. Gal returns to his friends and family in Spain, where Dee Dee wears the earrings and life has returned to normal. Gal still hears Don's voice in his head. He responds that Don is dead now and can shut up. But that's Sexy Beast.
Oh, and we're back from Plotland. Wow.
All right. So what are some of the parts that you did like about this movie?
There was quite a bit. I really enjoyed the overall idea of like, what if there was a One Last Job movie, but he said no.
Yeah.
Like that is kind of a fun idea on its head. And then it played with that. I liked the backstory of why they're doing the heist was really fun. Mm-hmm. They kind of have like that double cut explanation of Teddy.
Yeah. Teddy and telling Don.
Yeah, and then Don telling Gal.
I really like that sequence. The editing in this movie has a lot of energy, which is weird at times that it does feel boring because there are those sequences that do feel really energized.
Yeah.
Like that, like explaining the heist thing, which in a way is kind of a classic scene where you're explaining the heist and things are happening. But like they execute it really well. And so it makes it strange that in contrast, some of the parts of the movie were just like really boring.
And what's weird is I can't put my finger on why it was boring at parts, because I can't really think of what particular element didn't have me in there or what they could add. But what were some moments for you? What were some big ones?
I really like the scene on the plane. Yeah. Where he's smoking a cigarette. He's clearly frustrated that he got denied and that Gal had brought up Jackie and their affair. And he clearly has feelings for her still, but yeah. He's just like suppressed and doesn't know how to deal with them. And obviously doesn't know how to manage his anger. But also the scene after that, where he's like talking about how he was sexually assaulted. Just the way that this man manipulates people and also just does whatever the fuck he wants.
Oh, he's in control.
Yeah, it is a crazy character. Like the blocking of the character and the physical use of him in scenes, where in the first scene where you see him sitting and the other two are on the couch, like he's elevated above them. In that interrogation scene, he's standing. He's not sitting down like you would expect. Like he has to be in powerful positions pretty much at all times, which is crazy good character building. And obviously Ben Kingsley executes the delivery of everything so well. Like he's so entertaining to watch and also just terrifying to watch.
Yeah. You know what's wild? I didn't put this in the fun facts, but those airport scenes were the first scenes that Ben Kingsley filmed as Don, which is kind of interesting because you'd think maybe you get the other ones out of the way first and then you get to that like really intensive Ben Kingsley hour kind of thing. But that was his start off, and God, does it start hot.
It does. Yeah. And I really like, you can actually see a little bit of Jonathan Glazer's surrealist touches in the movie. Like there's a weird Donnie Darko-esque bunny man that shows up every now and again.
And he is an Uzi.
And then there's like a scene of Gal sitting alone in the desert eating his calamari. And like it's to show that he's in his own thoughts or kind of feels isolated in this moment. And then there's the Don being buried underground and being found by the bunny. Like there's some weird shit going on. And I'm here for it. Like I really liked that.
Yeah, it was really fun because it cuts out of nowhere with no like setup or anything like that. It's just like, oh, there's a Donnie Darko dude with a gun. That's sick.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I love it.
Yeah. I didn't find the heist that exciting.
No.
That was one part that like maybe because you wait the whole movie to get to the point where he says eventually yes. And obviously the reason he says yes, which we talked about in the plot, is that he kills Don. And so he has to, he probably feels like he has to show up because of that. Because if he didn't show up and Don didn't show up, then people would start to ask questions. Whereas if he goes there and creates the story, creates the narrative, then even though Teddy pokes holes in it and, you know, sees right through it, he can try to save some face. But then like the heist itself wasn't that exciting. It's just like a bunch of guys in a pool doing drilling.
Yeah. And what I was kind of waiting for with that heist scene was for there to be a question of if Teddy's going to try and kill Gal there or something or set him up or do something like that. But it just kind of goes smoothly. It's not, there's not much of a hitch to it, which is, I was surprised by that because it had started to set up the narrative of if Teddy knows that Gal killed Don or not. And then it doesn't really play with that during that scene. He just, they break into the vault. I mean, it was still a cool scene. I really liked how that was shot. It felt more like a realistic heist where it's not like, haha, we're going to drill into the bank. It's like a grueling physical task that takes shifts of men to accomplish.
Yeah, which is, it is interesting in its execution. But I just found that at that point, I was waiting for more stuff to go wrong. And I wanted the conflict of Gal and Don to kind of explode in that moment. But obviously it had previously exploded. And at this point, because they didn't really explain that Don was killed, they just show Dee Dee having the gun and then cut to Gal being in London. You have to assume like something happened.
Right? Yeah.
And so you're wondering what's happening or what has happened, but you're going into the heist. So you're having these questions, but you're watching this heist. And so you're trying to figure out all the pieces. And I just found that maybe that was a little distracting in that moment, but I don't know.
There was one line that really I enjoyed as like a really small, not like trivial thing. It's when Gal's talking to Dee Dee about the fact that he learned that Don had slept with Jackie.
Yeah.
And he, and Gal just says like, what was Jackie getting at? And it's just fun getting into like this mobster mentality of like, clearly she did that for a reason. What was her reason? We got to figure this out to understand like the greater picture.
Yeah.
Instead of it just being like, he slept with Jackie and the Dee Dee going, oh my God, scandalous. Why?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just kind of a cool, it shows that he's still in the gangster mentality that hasn't left him. He's still kind of like in that world. It's just, it was just a small, cool thing.
Yeah. And I do really like Gal as like a character. Like he's obviously really well acted and you could tell he has this history and he's just tired. He's done.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, overweight and clearly just enjoying his time in the sun and wanting to get away from it all. I mean, at that point, wouldn't you? Like, why would you want to go back to London?
You have millions of dollars. Yeah. You're in Spain. You have a beautiful wife and villa. Mm-hmm. You're having calamari for dinner. You're living life high.
Yeah. And I just kind of wanted things to go more wrong at the end. Like, obviously they killed Donna. That's kind of the only thing that goes wrong. Other than Gal doesn't get a payout of the heist.
Yeah.
He gets £10 and then this is like, okay, bye.
Like, although I didn't, like, there was also, he had the tension of Teddy finding out the whole time, which at least is something. Like, it didn't overall go wrong, but it held good tension for some bits.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no, I do appreciate that as well. I just maybe wanted that tension to explode a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't really, except when he goes and kills the bank manager. So I guess it kind of like is a height of tension. But even Gal isn't like, he accepts defeat, but he never admits killing Don. But Teddy knows. Like,
yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I didn't mind how they ended that. I just wish that they added a little more tension during the heist.
Yeah.
But I thought the ending was fine because it does make sense as well. It's like, I'm sure that the kind of guy that Don is, when Teddy hired him to do his work, Teddy probably assumed that eventually he's going to end up dead.
Yeah.
Like, no one lives forever in that role. So he's probably upset that it happened, but he wasn't blown away or completely taken off guard by that fact.
Yeah. And I bet you if Gal had just told Teddy that he'd killed Don, or that like Don tried to attack him and his family and he acted out in self-defense, Teddy would probably be a little bit more understanding. He might be like not happy, but he would probably not be as harsh on Gal in his final decision to not put him into the cut than he had been. And he probably wouldn't have just been like persisting about it, because then it would just settle him. It's, I think it's about the lie more than it is about the act itself.
But would Teddy do that? Because otherwise, like, Teddy has no issues killing people once they're not useful anymore. And if Gal openly admits to killing Don, if I'm Teddy, I'm just gassing Gal the second the job's done, because no, he's not useful anymore either.
Yeah. But I guess like at the end of the day too, like, Teddy also seems like the type of person who would want to hold this over you. And he eventually finds out anyways. And so he's basically told him that he's going to come visit him. And I think because he has this sort of dirt on him, or sort of this like, you owe me for killing Don, it implies that maybe he'll get Gal back for another job and maybe not pay him again.
Yeah. Well, but there's also like the don't give people more information than you have to, because there was a non-zero chance that Gal pulls it off. And I think that's worth running those odds just to see.
Yeah. Well, if you want to get to the reviews and such?
Oh, let's dive right into that. These reviews, they are not mixed. They are pretty unanimous. Rotten Tomatoes, the critics slamming this with an 86. They enjoyed it. And the audience is an 85. They were right there with them.
Nice. Yeah.
This has a 7.3 on IMDb and a 79 on Metacritic.
Yeah, that's about where I would expect, actually.
Yeah. I mean, this didn't necessarily steal an entire bank vault's worth of money, but it did make $10.2 million on a budget of $4.3 million. Not a bad return.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah,
and this absolutely barely snuck onto the top grossing films at 144 out of 145.
Damn.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, but it made it there. It creeped its way on in. Oh, but more important than the critics and audiences is us, as always. Kyle, what is your enjoyment of Sexy Beast?
I wrote these right after watching it, so it was my fresh thought. I gave it a 4 on enjoyment, and I think that is honestly how I felt. You know, I do have my gripes with it sometimes feeling boring, but overall, like, I did actually have a good time with it, and it's short enough that, like, if it doesn't overstay its welcome.
Yeah, I'm going to slap down a 3.5 for this. I felt that it was odd that I felt bored occasionally in such a short, good movie. So I wanted to knock something off for that.
Fair.
But so much of this movie is quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
What is your craft for this?
I gave it a 4. I think it is a very strong directorial debut with a lot of interesting choices and a lot of unique camera work and editing. And I thought that it all came together really well on a craft side.
I'm giving this a 5. Could not like find anything to fault it was fair. Has a very strong directing personality. But it's so well maintained throughout the whole film.
Yeah,
there was a lot I really enjoyed about like how this was design that I couldn't find anywhere that I wanted to dock it. So I'm slapping down a 5.
I think my point was lost just because of the inconsistencies in pacing, especially because some scenes seemed more energized than others. Mm-hmm. But that could be on the writing too. But I feel like sometimes editing can help work around that. So
yeah. What are you giving this for execution?
I also gave this a 4. I think it was competently written. Like, it is a very tightly written story. I do dock at a point because I think that the expectation is that he will accept the call to action, but I don't knock it for taking the different stance of, like you said, what if the guy asked for one last heist but said no? Mm-hmm. And obviously the acting is phenomenal. So I think a 4 is good there.
I'm also giving this a 4 for execution. I feel like the occasional slowness, I'm kind of docking that from the execution,
yeah,
not from the craft. But I don't know where it came from. I still don't know what about it did that.
Yeah. Yeah. It might be a story thing, or because like your expectations and the ebbs and flows and kind of the narrative not necessarily building that much to a point, mm-hmm, but it could also just be on like the editing. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to say. What's your rewatchability?
I gave this a 3. I think that it is an easy rewatch. Like, it would be fine to put on, but I'm not running out to do so. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily know if I would be recommending this to people over like other movies. Like, if somebody brought it up to me, it was like, hey, I'm thinking about watching Sexy Beast, I'd be like, oh yeah, sure, go for it. Or if maybe they're getting into Jonathan Glazer's filmography, which I don't know how much is in there, but I would recommend both of his films. Like, they're both really good, or the two that I had seen are really good. So yeah, 3.
I'm going to slap this down a 3 as well. There's definitely people who I think should watch this.
Yeah.
And if anyone ever asked me like, hey, Jason, I want to see Ray Winstone shirtless, what can I do? I'd be like, oh boy, have I got a sweater for you. So I'm going to slap down a 3 for that one. That will bring our scores to Kyle. You're giving this 3.8. Wait, no, 15 out of 20 for a 75%. I was looking at the wrong column.
Yep.
And I have given this a 15.5 out of 20 for a 78%.
Nice.
It's ranking time, though.
All right.
Kyle, right now your ranking is Donnie Darko, Memento, Royal Tenenbaum, Shrek, Ocean's 11, Harry Potter, The Others, Spy Kids, Monsters Ball, Gosford Park, In the Bedroom, Ghost World. Where does Sexy Beast lay?
Well, it's back to back for this placement. It is my new number 7 under Harry Potter, but over The Others.
Ooh.
I think those three are like, this is kind of bridging that gap. I didn't think that the gap would actually be between Harry Potter and The Others, because I think those are two pretty closely comparable films in terms of my enjoyment, but this does kind of feel like it edges out The Others, but I don't think it can get a break into that Harry Potter zone yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting one, because I also have it hanging around The Others, but The Others is a bit higher for me.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to toss it below The Others and above Harry Potter.
Interesting.
Which is a funny inversion from what you literally did seconds ago.
Yeah.
So this is now going to be my new number 6, and that will bring my ranking to Donnie Darko, Royal Tenenbaums, Shrek, Memento, The Others, Sexy Beast, Harry Potter, Ocean's 11, In the Bedroom, Spy Kids, Gosford Park, Ghost World, Monsters Ball.
Nice.
That is going to scooch us right along into some fun Letterboxd reviews.
Hell yeah. Were they actually fun this time?
This has a couple. This has some.
Okay.
This has a few. We're not bad. I wouldn't be upset by these. We're going to start it off. This has a 3.8 out of 5, which is very high for Letterboxd World.
That's really good, actually.
Brendan O'Hare, 4.5 stars. This movie taught me that you can order calamari for dinner. It's not just an appetizer.
Are you a calamari guy?
I do love a good calamari. Yeah, okay. I got nothing against him. How about you?
I really don't like. I don't like ocean food other than like fish. I'm not like a crab, shellfish, oysters, mussels. I don't like any of that sort of thing.
I will say that's fair. They're very strong flavors.
Yeah.
It's not like a meat that kind of blends in like some fish can. Mm-hmm. It hits you with it. Vinny Sims, 4 stars. A crime thriller where the characters commit the worst crime of all. Being British. God, there's something fun about just punching down on the British. Yeah. There's just something you can't, maybe it's all the imperialism, but you just can't feel bad about it. Like they've earned it.
Did you watch with subtitles on? Because sometimes I was itching to press it sometimes, but most of the time I could kind of make out what they were saying.
I always watch with subtitles. Okay. I'm one of those people, those filthy readers. Finally, Chris Fail, 4 stars. Demented. This lets Ray Winston be hot. I mean, he had a charm going to him. Yeah. Kind of had some flourish.
I liked his vibe, yeah.
Now for the awards details. Kyle, you already know what's going on. This has one nomination for an Academy Award. Kyle, what do you think slash already know for sure what it is?
It was Ben Kingsley, supporting actor.
That's correct. No. Kyle, did he win?
No.
No. He didn't.
But I like him being there. Like,
yeah, I do too.
He's good in that spot. I don't know if I would add anybody else. Like, Ray Winstone is interesting as a lead, but also he's very reserved. And so I don't think he's doing a lot, but he did have a really good performance. And same with Ian McShane. He has this also very reserved performance that kind of explodes in points, but also he'd never like raises his voice really. Yeah. So, but yeah, other than that, like, I don't know what I would maybe add.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's pretty tight where it's at. Like, characters are all tight, but only Don's really someone that you can give a really captivating performance for.
Yeah.
Everyone else is still just like a person that could exist.
Yeah. And this was kind of like in a way, it is a classic Oscar performance where there's a lot of screaming and just stuff that gives the actor a lot of screen time to just like give it their all. And so I'm not surprised that he got that nomination.
Yeah. In terms of other notable awards, Ben Kingsley.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know why I thought Kingston for a second. Sean Kingston did. Ben Kingsley does get a lot of nominations, a bunch of smaller awards, but like the movie in general was kind of riding his shoulders in terms of accolades. So that's mostly it. For interesting facts, we have some. Ray Winstone traveled to Spain 2 weeks before filming to get as deep a tan as he could in the time possible and to eat as much as he could to bulk up considerably. He called it the best rehearsal time I've ever had in my life.
I mean, did they not have tanning beds and could he not just like eat whatever he wanted?
No, he's dedicated to his craft. This is method acting. He's
nice.
Put himself through torment that no other actor could ever do. Sir Ben Kingsley claims the character of Don Logan is largely based on his grandmother.
Oh.
Oh, no. I have to imagine she's no longer with us, but if she was, call the police. This is the final screen appearance of Kevin Kendall, who died shortly after filming.
Who is he? The
He's H?
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty old. But rest in peace. Hopefully he's not under a swimming pool.
Mm.
This movie heavily influenced the plot for the video game Grand Theft Auto 5.
I can see that.
Yeah, you kind of get that.
Because it's kind of, what's the guy's name?
Here's the thing. I never played.
Michael. Michael is that kind of character where he's, you know, an experienced heist person, but doesn't want to take that new call to action.
Yeah. Because how many hours do you think we put into Grand Theft Auto 5?
I could tell you. Exactly. If I turned on my PlayStation, I will tell you for a fact, though, it's not as much as friend of the show and friend of us in real life, Nick Lagore.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Man's put weeks.
Years. Probably years. But like we're probably in the hundreds of hours, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
I've never played the campaign.
No,
I've not a minute of the storyline. I am 100% online with you guys. I don't know anything about the story. So I put that in there and I had no clue if that's any way accurate.
Yeah, no, I could see it because, they do have the parallels between Michael and Gal. But wow, really? I played the story mode on 360, like Xbox 360. And then when I came to PlayStation 4, I just kept it online.
Haven't touched it.
Weird.
Not a single second. I haven't taken a step.
It's just, wow. Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. Producer Jeremy Thomas was quoted saying, "It was very difficult to get insurance on the film, actually. When the American studio bought the film, their legal department said, you cannot make this. There's something like 300 uses of the word cunt and 400 fucks. Yeah, but somehow it passed the censorship and got out there."
Hell yeah.
For an accurate count, there are actually only 21 uses of the word cunt, but there were 115 fucks.
Nice. I mean, that just feels like, it just felt like the British dialect. Like, yeah. This just was how these people talked. Like, I was just in it. Like, it was immersive, you know.
I thought it was like, that's how families talk to each other last time I checked. I don't know anything about Britain. That is all the fun facts and outside knowledge that I can bring into this movie. Kyle, do you have any last thoughts on this movie, Sexy Beast?
I think I want to go to Spain now.
Yeah.
Looks nice. Yeah, except for the impending boulders sometimes.
Yeah. I guess so. I mean, that's, yeah. Is that a real hazard that they have there?
Just random random acts of rolling boulder?
Yeah. Wow.
I thought that that was... Okay, this is going back into the... We didn't talk about the boulder, but like, I thought that was somebody actually trying to assassinate him, but it was just random?
With a boulder?
Yeah.
That's a terrible way to do that.
Just do it like the Fortnite thing, where you just roll the boulder down.
That's so unpredictable. Off by an inch and you're killing 20 other people. There's more houses below that one, I'm pretty sure. You'd make a terrible assassin.
All right. Anything else?
No, I don't really have anything. I guess this, other than the fact that this is a beautiful story of Gal gaining another pool boy. Just buried underneath.
Yes.
Yeah, it's done.
All right. Well, I want to thank you all for listening to season 3, episode 13 of Snubs and Dubs. Halfway through. Over halfway now. Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Incredible.
As always, you can find us everywhere on social media at Snubs and Dubs. That's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Letterboxd, etc. We're also on Good Pod, so make sure to check us out there and join our official Discord. We'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on Sexy Beast or on this episode. So please send us a tweet or a message with a question, recommendation, or anything else. I'm also at Kyle Tobiasen on Twitter and Jason's at Wendy_Mills. Of course, all of those links will be in the show notes. Make sure to leave a 5-star review, share the show to everyone you know, and check back next week for another episode. Here's a sneak peek of the film we're going to talk about.
If I was a dealer, you'd be dead by night. They build jails because of me. Judges have handed out over 15,000 man years of incarceration time based on my investigation. You got today and today only to show me who and what you're made of. You hear me?
That's right. Next time we're talking about Training Day.
Choo-choo.
So make sure to watch it before next episode. Can't wait for you guys to hear it. Thanks for listening. That's a wrap. Bye.
Bye for now.